Hey listeners, welcome back to Crime Life. I'm your host, Heather, and I hope you liked the first episode and you're back for more. I can't wait to get into today's episode. Today's episode is on Devery Schiller. Today's story takes place in a city named California City, California. Its overall crime rate is about 21% higher than the national average. Its population is 14,000. For every 100,000 people, there's an 8% daily crime that occurs in California City. California City is safer than 14% of the cities in the United States. In California City, you have a 1 in 32 chance of becoming a victim of any crime. In California City, there is 8 unsolved crimes, 5 murders, 3 missing. And we're really hoping to get the word out there because today's episode is one of those unsolved murders. On June 26, 2016, 23-year-old Devery Schiller was strangled to death in the Central Park area of California City, California. It has been 3 years, 9 months, 10 days, and 16 hours, and still no leads on letting us know who took Devery. The night before, she decided to leave her mom's house to take a walk to the store with a friend of hers. She never came back that night. Her mom didn't worry at first because, after all, she was an adult. She was 23 years old. It wasn't until she heard the news of a body being found in the park across the way from her. When the police later showed up to her door, that's when she just knew it had to be Devery. Devery wasn't answering any of her texts with her mom demanding her to call her. The devastating news about all of this is that the 5 kids who found Devery's body in the park went and got a mother who initially called the police. But while waiting for those police, she took photos of Devery's body and posted it on social media. And when Devery's mother came across that, it was disgusting because it caused so much trauma to her mother and she'll never unsee those images again. I have Devery Schiller's mother, Debbie Phones, with me, and she'll go more into detail, but I really feel like her story needs to be told. Hi, Debbie. Thank you for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy you were able to get this interview in with me.
I have no life but this, so...
It's not a bad thing at all. You want to find who took your daughter from you, and I completely would understand that.
I don't really, but I'm trying.
Take it day by day.
Pretty much. That's all I can do.
So what brought you to Cal City?
I actually grew up here. The end of summer, right before I started fifth grade, my family moved here. And I lived in Cal City until well after I graduated high school. I got married after high school, had my kids and whatnot, and then moved away from here when I was like 26. 5 years ago, we made the decision to come back, but it was only supposed to be for like 6 months. And it didn't exactly go that way. 17 months later, we were still here, and she is killed. And 5 years later, here we are still.
I bet it's hard to find yourself wanting to even leave now after this happening because you don't want to get away. You want to find a solution, but at the same time, you feel if you leave, it's not going to help in this.
At this point, I made a promise to her that I would see this through. At this point, anything I do now can pretty much be done over social media. I don't need to be here. I have a good, working relationship with my detectives. I can contact them anytime, day or night, basically, I need to. Everything else I do on social media, I don't like public, attention. I don't want to be doing any of this. So I mean, I can move away. I need to move away. I'm trying to move away. Everything from here on out is just a matter of keeping our name out there, and we're doing a lot towards that.
Coming from somebody who's been following your pages, you're doing a really good job at that. Like, you definitely are keeping her name out there, her face out there, her story out there. So I honestly congratulate you on doing such a good job with that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So
And the hardest thing I have ever done.
for anybody who didn't know Debrie, how would you describe her to everybody?
As it sounds, for the very first interview I ever did 3 months after she passed, my news lady, that was the very first question. Can you describe Debrie for us? And I was trying so hard to be strong, and I broke immediately. That is probably the hardest question had to answer. She was amazing. She was smart and funny and beautiful and a bitch and my nurse. She took care of my memories for me. I mean, she was amazing. She was what you needed her to be. She had friends that rap, and she was always had their back, always pushing them to keep going. I mean, I'm very much biased, but she was an amazing person.
Do you know if she had any enemies or hung out with anybody that was maybe part of a wrong crowd?
I know this sounds like it sounds so bad saying like this. My daughter was beautiful. I think she may have been swapped at birth. I don't know how it happened. The girl was beautiful. Men wanted her, and that pissed women off. Women wanted to be like her, yeah, people got mad, people pissed off, people hated that, but it was never anything that she didn't handle. She had no problem t telling people where to get off if necessary, and she could fight too. So I mean, if she had enemies, it was never like anything that raised a lot of concern. That makes any sense.
It does. So pretty much she was the envy of a lot of girls, but that's because she was so beautiful. But at the same time, she was still able to hold her own. So you didn't really worry about her when she would go out.
No, jobs that I didn't worry hardly at all, because my daughter was a badass because I wasn't, because I was soft. I don't fight, so she made sure I didn't have to as she grew up. Not because I made her, but because that was my boo. She made sure mom was okay. And because, I mean, she was a badass. She didn't take no, I apologize for my language.
No, you can be
She didn't take
sometimes.
any. Yeah, she didn't take shit from people. But she'd be your best. She was just awesome.
So that
I
night
mean,
that you that in the story shows that she had left to go to the store, what can you tell me about that night?
it'd been hot that day. I know we had broken down in the truck out in the desert, my friend and I, earlier in the day. Got back. I was kicking in my room talking to Boo a little bit. Sorry, her nickname was Boo. Talking to Boo some. We answered the door. So we're there. We answered the door. It was Carlos, her friend. We invited him in, of course. He and I sat in my bedroom just bullshitting, while she kind of bebopped around and did her Boo thing and got ready, and we all talked and everything because she was in and out of my bathroom. Just had a nice conversation. They had been talking about she wanted to go to Taco Bell, and there's not a Taco Bell in this town. Excuse me. Not Corona. I swear it's not Corona. It's COPD. Please don't lynch me. Sorry. Anyway, there's not a Taco Bell in this town. There's one like 2 towns over, which is probably, I'd say, maybe 25, 30 miles. She didn't have a vehicle, but we were talking. She was asking me about borrowing the truck that evening to run over to Taco Bell. And I was like, we hadn't decided anything. So she said she was going to run to the store and get some cigarettes, her and Carlos. And when they came back, we discussed them using the truck. So I took off. My family is very, very good about if we leave a room, we say, hey, love you, see you in a while. She left, love you, boo, see you in a while, be safe. She said it back. It was a normal thing. She didn't come back that night. Not a big deal. She was 23. It's a little town. There's not. It's a very. You've been here, right? You used to stay in
Yes,
custody.
I actually lived
It's
there
a.
15 years.
Yeah, and it's not a big place. When I grew up here, it was safe. It's. I think the population's now at about 14,000, and that's probably probably double what it was back when I was a kid. It was not a dangerous place. So when she didn't come home, it was no big deal. The next day, hanging out with the grandbaby, I get a text from my mom. I hadn't heard from Boo yet, which is not a major concern. I was wondering, but it wasn't a concern. I get a text from my mom, says they found the body in the park. And the park is right across the street from me. I start texting Boo, basically demanding that she call me right now. I called everybody she knew. I knew all of her friends, where they live. I knew the kids. I know the kids. When she didn't answer me, I got my granddaughter. We got in the truck, and we went to everybody's house that she hangs out at. Nobody had seen her that day. I end up going over to the trailer park because that's where Jay lived, and that's who she was dating at the time. And I knocked on the door, and I could hear the kids crying, but I couldn't. Nobody answered the door, so I went and got a friend of ours and brought him back over to make Jay answer the door, because I figured Jay would know where Devery was. Well, he got Jay to answer the door, and Jay said he didn't know. He had no idea. Well, then I left Jay, dropped my friend off at his house, and I went back to my place. And about 5 minutes after I got there, my granddaughter's other grandparent came and picked her up because of the situation. We had no idea what was going on. I let the granddaughter go with the grandparent. I went back to my room, and a few minutes later, my roommate yells, "Deb, the cops are here." And I knew. I knew. I'd already talked. I'd been on the phone with the cops twice. They denied, knowing anything, blah, blah, blah. And I knew. So I snatched up my phone and I called my mom. And I went to the front door and they told me my daughter was
So you say she went with a friend, Carlos. Have you spoken to him since that night?
dead. Surprisingly, he sat there talking to me the night before. He knows damn good and well that as far as I, her mother, know, he is the last person to see her alive. He's got to know that. He never came back. He never, he, it wasn't like he didn't know who I was. He knew where I lived. We talked on numerous occasions, when we'd been there visiting Beverly. He knew who I was. He never came back here, never said a word to me. The next day, Sunday morning, I don't know for a fact, but I was told that he and his baby mama and the kids left town on a family emergency, and nobody knew where. He came back a couple weeks later. Never came and saw me, never called me, never nothing. And I don't know. I still don't understand that. How does he not come talk to me? Not try to clear his name, at least a little with me. I'm not some big badass. He could easily come just say, hey, look, blah, blah, blah happened. Okay,
Or something just to make
but
you
no, he
feel a
never.
little more secure about what his
Right, to
whereabouts
not feel he was him,
are, right?
yeah. But he never did. Never came and saw
And
me.
what about this Jay guy that you said Devery was dating? I mean, I'm pretty sure there's got to be a lot of rumors going around because people always suspect either the spouse or the boyfriend or the girlfriend at the time. Have you spoken to him since this incident?
He's the one I went and that I was saying I went and asked him, the day it happened, that I went to the trailer park to talk to. He came to the house afterwards. He was down there every day for a couple of months, helping me out with anything I needed help with. He looked me in the face and told me he didn't hurt her, that he would never do something like that. And then the whole time after she passed, and him and all the kids were still covered, they were basically robbing us blind. Jay stole my husband's tablet and sold it to somebody else. And I put the word out when I found out it was missing, that it was missing. And I got hit up by somebody, said, "Hey, what names were on that?" And I told him, and he says, "Well, I have it." And he finally, acknowledged that Jay sold it to him. So I confronted Jay about it, and that was the last time he ever came to see me again. After that, he stopped coming around. I've ran into him a couple of times. We don't have a lot to say to each other.
Has Jay ever been arrested or questioned for the murder of Devery?
I'm arrested for it? No, he's been questioned, yes.
How about Carlos?
Yeah, Carlos, it took him 7 months to get Carlos to question him. And the only reason they did when they did was because Carlos actually lived 2 blocks behind me. And I met somebody that lived basically right between Carlos's house and my house. And he was keeping an eye out for me. He was keeping an eye. He hit me up and he said, "Hey, they're loading a U-Haul. They're getting ready to leave." So I hit my detective up and I told him, I'm like, "Man, you got to get him to check him out. You can't let this guy get away," because they hadn't questioned him yet. And they went over there and all this stuff. As it turned out, by the end of the evening, they barely caught him in the U-Haul on his way, like right before he was going to be out of town and gone. They caught him and were able to question him. And,
You haven't heard from him that since that day.
no, he's never come and spoken to me. He has never anything as far as towards me at all.
Is there a lot of crime issues where you live?
Oh, incredibly so. And yeah, it's so bad here. It's dangerous here. It really is. It's getting out of hand. There's actually 8 unsolved cases in this town, in this little bitty town. 8 unsolved cases, high profile, but major crimes. 5 homicides, 3 missing persons that are, as of today, still unsolved, dating back all the way to 2001. There shouldn't be that many.
I agree. How do you feel the police,
There should
how do you
not.
feel the police are handling, all of this when it comes to your daughter?
My first, in my mind, my number one detective, Sergeant Hayes, is an amazing person. When this is all said and done with, the man deserves a reward just for dealing with me, because I am a pain in the ass. I mean, I am calling him up, calling like weekly. I would go in and see him weekly. I'm taking him, information or whatever. I mean, I keep, I give him a heads up when I pull my shit, and he appreciates it, but he don't try to stop me. He knows better. I love the man. He's awesome. It's basically been the city that, in my book, is messing this whole thing up. The city, the governing brains of this town are the ones that are screwing this whole thing up. And they won't listen.
I don't know if you guys have heard about that movie, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Came out in 2017. It's about a mother who challenges the authorities in her town to solve her daughter's murder because they are failing to find her killer. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. But this next topic that I talked to Debbie about is what gave her the idea. It was after hearing about the movie Three Billboards that Debbie decided to make her own three billboards. So, when did you put these billboards up?
It was, let's see, November, December, the year before I did the billboards. A friend of mine came to me and they were like, "You got to see this trailer for this movie. It is so you." And I watched it and I was just like, "Wow." 'Cause I kind of have, I have an attitude problem and I have a mouth and I kind of push my luck at times. Not like believing in the movie did. And I just agreed with the concept, and over time it took shape in my brain going, "What if we did that?" And I had just a couple people that were helping me out. And we got the wood together, we put it all together. I did, myself and my one friend did all the painting. I got a hold of my news lady. I had an incredible news lady here named Olivia LaVoice. She was amazing, and she still is amazing. She transferred up to Washington, so we no longer have her. But I had hit her up with the idea, told her to go, because it was close to the same time the awards were coming out, and the movie was up for a lot of awards, a lot of nominations. And she had hit me back. She says, "My boss wants to know if you can do it sooner." I'm like, "Well, I hadn't planned on it." "Well, yep, we'll do it." And we got it all done and like up, and it worked. I mean, it got attention for her, and that's what I've been trying to do, just
And where did you
for
decide to put
there.
up those three billboards?
There's actually a curve. There's two and a half roads that go out of Cal City. There's one that goes towards Edwards Air Force Base. There's one that goes up towards Mojave and Tehachapi. And then the half road is the thing going out to Camp Hill towards Ridgecrest. The main two roads to Mojave and Base, the base road is very, very much more traveled because all the people that work on base live in this, in our town. So there's a curve right that they'll see it. They can't miss it. It's on their way to work every single day. So and that's where we put them up and seriously considering redoing them sometime in the near
Can you
future.
tell me what they say? Are they up this till this day?
Yes, ma'am, they are actually still there, which surprised the hell out of me, because I thought for sure somebody would try to take them down. But I think because we timed it right after it won all those awards, and people were like really into the whole movie and everything, I think they left them there because they were more afraid of what would happen if they tried to take them down. If that makes sense. I think they just kind of let it slide.
And what do those billboards say?
Busting illegal grow houses is good. Busting killers would be better. And then it says, I'm not, I don't know word for word, but and it says Devery Schiller, 1092 to 616, murdered unsolved. And shortly after I put up those three, the mom of Matthew Leininger, who is one of the five murder victims that is unsolved, came to me and asked if I would mind if she could put one up after, following my three. And of course, I was like more than happy. I was so glad that, it was going up. But they have been there now for, I don't even know how long, a year at least.
And I've noticed on
And they've
your
been up.
on Devery Find Who Murdered Boo Facebook page, you recently just did a really long post of just kind of seems like you're just venting and wanting answers to things. Are you okay with me reading that on at the end of this episode?
I would That would be awesome. I would not mind at all.
And if I mean right now, I'm
That
giving you like just the free realm. Like, if there's anything you want to get out there or you feel like I haven't asked you, go ahead and say it now.
how do I think? The city has got to stop. They've got to stop screwing with this. They have hired. They took my detective. Original detective had put him on patrol nights on graveyard shift. So we, for quite a while, did not have any detectives working on any of our cases for quite a while. The city finally passed their tax they were messing around with on the third try. And when we so we started hiring some new police officers and whatnot. While Chief Hortado was in office, they hired a man by the name of Timothy O'Quinn. He had 28 years on the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and he spent like the last 8 to 10 years on the homicide division. The man has helped solve crimes, like major crimes. He was a part of the team that busted the Gabriel Fernandez, the little boy in Palmdale that was tortured and everything. He was one of the detectives on that case. He's got these major cases. They hired him. He's retired. They brought him here strictly to work the eight cases. Within 9 months, that man pretty much knows the name of every one of the ones, every person that committed these crimes. He knows the names. Well, our Chief Hurtado decided, for whatever reason, that he was going to resign or whatever. He did it on a Wednesday morning. He made his last call that night on the radio, however that works. It was that quick. Well, the city asked O'Quinn, the man they just hired for the cases, if he would step in briefly as the interim police chief. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to work these cases, but he agreed to help them out. It was 1 week later that they had him ran out of town because of the personal attacks and all this other crap they were doing. They asked him to help, and then they run him off. Well, when they get rid of him, they bring in my original detective to be the interim police chief. While Sergeant O'Quinn was working the cases, he brought in Larry, Larry Brandenburg. And him and Larry together were working the cases. With O'Quinn gone, now it's just Larry, and they got a new police chief, a new police chief, and they got Hayes back, kind of working on the case somewhat, but he's still out having to hand out parking tickets because they're short-handed here. If the city would quit messing around with all this crap and let O'Quinn or whoever needs to be doing this do it, all these things could be solved. But they want to do their BS and run off the best thing we have going for us in these cases. And now they won't even take him, they will not take him back. It's been ridiculous. I don't do politics. I'm tired of talking to these fools. This is not complicated. They're so making it complicated. It's killing me. I don't want to be dealing with these people no more. I want to just get this done with.
I want to say thank you so much for doing this interview. And I really, really hope this somehow gets the word out more, gets some kind of questions answered for you, or even just bringing it to the light more. So again, thank you, Debbie, very much for doing this interview with me.
Thank you. I so appreciate this. Every bit, something's gonna help.
You
Something's gonna do
keep
something somewhere.
staying strong and keep her face out there.
I'm trying, man. We just did the webpage too. We just opened that today. So I'm like really excited about that
Yes,
one.
and I will definitely make sure to give
If you
everybody that
can.
link.
I want to thank Debbie again for doing this interview with me. I know it's hard to always revisit the murder of her daughter, but the more we get it out there, the better chances we are at solving it. So again, I'd like to thank her for being there with me. But now I'm going to read this post I talked to you guys about.
If you'd like to see the original post, you can go find it on Facebook at Help Find Who Murdered Boo. Right now, I'm going to read that post to you. Hey Jay, I have some questions for you, and I thought since everyone is on lockdown, they might help alleviate some of your boredom. How sweet of me, huh? I know this just is how I am. Anyway, I would obviously like honest, detailed answers, but don't feel like you need to write a book. I already got that part covered. Without further ado, let's get this party started. 1. When I showed up to your house that afternoon on June 26, 2016, and you came outside and saw me, what thoughts went through your head? Was it worry? Fear? Anger? Confusion? Please feel free to elaborate. 2. When you came to my home afterwards, how hard was it to hug me, look me in the face, and swear to me you didn't hurt her? Come on now, be honest. Did the lies just roll off that dead tongue of yours? 3. How hard was it to establish your bullshit alibi? Was it done before or after the fact? Was the alibi provided freely or under threat of pain? 4. Okay, hold on a second. And let's cover the ever-important basics before we continue the next leg of our little journey together. A. What time did you kill Devery? B. Was it an accident or did you make the decision to end her life prior to doing it? C. Were you a man enough to look her in the eye as she took her last breath, or were you a cowardly pussy and did it from behind so she couldn't see you for the monster she knew you to be? Okay, we can now get back to the fun stuff. Sorry for that interruption. 5. Was it easy for you? 6. At any point while you were willfully destroying her life, the lives of those that truly loved her, did you picture the adorable little face of your own little girl? When my daughter's face appears in your dreams, is it ever replaced by the face of your little girl? Do you see their eyes bulging out, mouth open, silently screaming for oxygen? Do you feel their arms flailing, desperately fighting to live? Do you ever feel their beating heart stop and the bright light leave their beautiful eyes? 7. I was going to ask if it was hard for you to continue stealing from our family after having killed her, but I realized that robbing us blind was just pretty bullshit to you after taking her life from us. 8. Each time you got busted by the cops, did you worry that maybe this time it was because you killed Devery? How relieved were you each time that it wasn't? 9. This one's kind of a bonus question for you. And here's a trigger warning, people, for anybody who has a rape trigger warning. You raped my oldest daughter, Asia. You are the reason Devery couldn't have children. You murdered Devery. What the holy fuck did my family ever do to you? 10. Last question for now. Would you like me to stop bugging you about this? And please note, I'm just getting started. I'd be happy to oblige, provided you do one of the following things. Turn yourself in and confess, or die. It's not like I'm asking for much, considering what you've stolen from my family. Okay, Jay, that's all I have for this moment. Like I said, I'm just trying to help alleviate some of your boredom. I look forward to reading your answers, as I'm sure everyone else is too. Ta-ta for now and have an awesome day. But keep in mind, each one could be your last. Sincerely, Debbie Schiller Phones. After hearing all of that, you guys can see how important it is to Debbie to get her daughter's case solved. There's a $25,000 reward for anyone with information. And anyone with information regarding this case is encouraged to contact the California City Police Department at 1-855-227-3656. So someone needs to do the right thing and help get justice for Devery's family by IDing and putting her killer away behind bars. Okay, listeners, that's it for today. If you like what you hear, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/crimelifepodcast. If you have any episode suggestions or questions, you can email us at crimelifepodcast@gmail.com. You can also check our website out at crimelifepodcast.com. Until next time, stay obsessed with the crime life.